Welcome to Top 10 Questions with the Top Guns in Our Space Industry, where we interview today's movers and shakers, launching us into tomorrow's new horizons. I'm Ashley First, giving you a first look at the space industry's who's who. Our next guest has a PhD in educational technology and is the author of Space Education, Preparing Students for Humanity's Multi-Planet Future. Hello, who in the space world are you?
I'm Mark Wagner. I'm the founder of Aries Learning and the director of education partnerships at Aldrin Family Foundation.
What does that mean? What do you do?
Well, all of my work now is focused on space education.
Aries Learning helps educators better prepare students for the growing space economy and for humanity's future in space. I'm also lucky enough to take educators on adventures like the Astrogeology for Educator experience I ran with Dr. Kirby Runyon, where we took teachers on a STEM tour of Spaceport America and toured landforms in the New Mexico desert that private astronauts see from Virgin Galactic or Blue Origin.
What's one or two of your biggest wow moments you've experienced in this industry?
A recent example was only a few weeks ago in New Mexico. My friend Ron Rossano got his chance to go to space with Virgin Galactic. I was thrilled and honored to be invited along. Seeing a rocket launch is always spectacular, if not life-changing, and it was amazing to see a totally different sort of launch, to have such a personal connection to it, to have so much insight into the behind-the-scenes operations. The best part is Ron and I have hosted astronaut panels for teachers and students, and now at our next event, Ron will be on the panel.
That's amazing. And your second wow moment?
I'm a huge U2 fan, and I just saw them at the Sphere in Las Vegas, and they used that spectacular canvas to create a true overview effect moment for 17,000 people, and they do this three times a week. I think the venue has a lot of potential for use by other space enthusiasts in the coming years.
Amen. The overview effect is a magical wonder that I still recall from riding on the Concorde. Your book, Space Education, is a great blueprint that suggests humanity will be shepherds throughout the universe, and any aliens in the future might just be human descendants from our soon-to-be multiplanetary species. However, is it possible that these fast radio bursts detected and Pentagon-documented UFO encounters are signs of human descendants and that multiplanetary living may be already occurring in a galaxy far, far away?
There's a lot to unpack in that question. When educating the next generation, I think it's important to consider issues of space philosophy, to look ahead and think about the challenges we'll face, to consider things like ethics, governance, and sustainability. We also really need to plan ahead so we can avoid existential threats and achieve our higher aspirations for, say, shepherding Earth life throughout the solar system and beyond. With the genetic engineering we've already unlocked, I've no doubt we'll be deliberately adapting to other environments, and we may very well be alien to each other in the generations to come. When someone living on the moon, perhaps with wings, might look very, very different from someone living in the oceans of Europa, perhaps with fins and other adaptations.
That's like the Quechua tribe in Peru, who have lived in the mountains for 11,000 years and now possess epigenetic changes in their DNA to survive the harsh altitude and cold.
Absolutely. In fact, I would point people to the book The Next 500 Years by Christopher Mason. It's mind-boggling what we're already able to do with genetic engineering. For instance, scientists have already integrated resistance to radiation from a tardigrade into human DNA.
Look at that. Your book mentions President Obama's Kennedy Space Center speech, which shifts our perspective from global competition to global collaboration. Just in case China and Russia do not read your chapter on moral decision-making and leadership before building their moon base in 2035, do you foresee cacophony or harmony as the moon becomes humanity's new International Space Station?
Probably a bit of both. And how dire the consequences are absolutely depends on our choices in the present. Diplomacy is very important to our shared future in space. The Outer Space Treaty of 1967 is dated and inadequate, and it's clear right now not everyone's on the same page with the Artemis Accords. We may need to consider alternative governance structures, and we'll certainly have to keep lines of communication and collaboration open with those who disagree, including China, Russia, and others. And as always, I think education today can lay the groundwork for better cooperation in future generations. And I always advocate that teachers challenge students with the ethical dimensions of the problems they're working on.
Yes, I've always said the greatest missiles any nation can launch are the minds of our next generation.
Absolutely.
What are some upcoming events where we can catch you?
I'm proud to say there's a free online space education summit coming up on November 10th, featuring astronauts Nicole Stott, Sharon Hagel, and Ron Rossano. You can register right now at spaceeducation.events.
Nice.
There's also the New Worlds Space Education Summit that has an incredible lineup. It's face-to-face in Austin on November 18th. You can register now at newworlds.space/education.
Brilliant. All right. Now it's time for our rapid-fire fill-in-the-blanks. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
At work, I'm known for...
inspiring and empowering educators.
I'd like to be remembered for...
preparing education systems for humanity's future in space.
My advice to the next generation looking to work in aerospace is...
we can't predict the future, but we can focus on the skill sets and mindsets necessary for success in unpredictable conditions.
So true. The music that gets me going and I want to hear on IROC Space Radio is...
a U2 and Martin Garrix collaboration, We Are the People. I love the lyric, we'll build it better than we did before. We're the people we've been waiting for.
Love it. And on that note, thank you for broadening our horizons today, Dr. Wagner.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled anytime I get to talk about the importance of space education.
This has been Top 10 Questions with the Top Guns in Our Space Industry, where we interview today's movers and shakers, launching us into tomorrow's new horizons. I'm Ashley First, and I've given you a first look at the space industry's who's who.